We hear again some of the verses from Philippians 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus. Aren't we a little tired of it? The division, the calling of names, the squabbling, the gossip, the slander. Paul speaks of it, of this crooked generation, when he writes to the church in Philippi. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, you are, says Paul to the Philippian church. So aren't we a little tired of it? The injustices, the rioting, the looting, the yelling, the turning of neighbor against neighbor. It seems like everything around us is unraveling, but this is not to be so in the church. The division, the malicious conversation we know in our world, what are we to do with all of this? In a poem that you may remember back from high school or something, 100 years ago, W.B. Yeats wrote his poem about the unraveling of society. This was right after World War I. The blood on the battlefield still seemed current. Families were still mourning the dead, and the Spanish flu was hitting hard. Major cities required masks to be worn by all. We can even go online now and see pictures of people behind masks in cities such as Paris and London and Los Angeles and the rest. It was 1919. And Yeats wrote his great poem, The Second Coming, painting a picture of a world swamped in anarchy. Yeats used the image of a falcon flying in a widening circle, circling ever higher and further from its master, until the falcon is no longer even able to return to the center. Turning and turning in the widening gear, Yeats wrote, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. That's just the first part of his poem, but it seems like Yeats could have been writing of our world today, of the crowds rioting with intense passion, things falling apart, the center not holding, innocence drowned, the best people lacking, Yeats said, conviction, the worst people filled with passionate intensity. But it is not to be so in the church. If the mind of this world is divided and filled with malice, if the mind of our world is to intimidate your neighbor, if the mind of our world that we see around us is to argue with fellow humans to humiliate them, if the mind of our world is to build up yourself and prove the other wrong, it is not to be so in the church. In the church, our Lord replaces retribution with mercy, malice with kindness, intimidation with humility, the exercise of power with the giving of gifts. Those divided, he makes one. In the church, the word we're given to hear is not a word to cover someone else in shame, but to build up and encourage. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, a city in which there was at that time great division and malice among neighbors. He writes to the church in Philippi, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. So Paul speaks to us of being of one mind. What is this one mind with one another that we are given in the church? It's so different from the conversation of our world, so opposite the picture that Yeats painted in his poem by speaking of a falcon flying ever further out of control so that he can't even return to the center. When he wrote of crowds acting in passionate intensity, this one mind that we're given in the church, it's foreign to the conversation we see around us of everyone lining up on sides and trying to bring shame on neighbor. What is this one mind we are given in the church? It is, says Paul, the mind which is yours in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The mind among us, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It is the proclamation of Jesus Christ crucified for all sinners. It is the word of one who did not glorify himself, did not intimidate, but though he was true God, became fully man along with us, so that as man, he could then humble himself by taking our sin upon himself and going to the cross to die as the sinner standing in our place. No sin belonged to him but that which he took from us. The mind among us, which is yours in Christ Jesus, it is the unity we are given by the name placed on us in baptism, the name of the Father, who is our Creator, the Son, who redeemed us with his own blood, and the Holy Spirit, who daily sanctifies us with the word and sacraments of the forgiveness of sins. The mind among us, which is yours in Christ Jesus, it is the oneness we are given as we are bound to each other in the communion of the sacrament of the altar. For we who eat the body of Christ according to his words are made one body with him and therefore with one another. We who drink his blood as he bids us do for the forgiveness of all sin are made to be of one blood with him and thereby with one another. The mind we're given to have among us, it is foreign to the mind of our world. It's never the will to intimidate or bring shame to neighbor, never the desire to harm our neighbor's reputation, to accuse our neighbor of having motivations that we can't know anyway. It's never the will to tear down our neighbor's property or wealth or business or home or cause fear. That mind belongs to our world. And that mind, the mind of division and superiority, of wanting to intimidate or bring shame, of setting neighbor against neighbor, that is the mind the devil tries to bring even into the church, even among us. And our own sinful flesh is more than open to this. For what better way to justify self? And that's exactly what the sinful flesh wants to do, justify self. What better way to justify self than to act morally superior in order to bring shame to a neighbor? This mind of the world, it is not to be known in the church. Have this mind among yourselves, says Paul, the mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, the mind of him who, though he was true God, emptied himself out and became a man, in order that he could then humble himself by going to the death of the cross in our place. In the church, then, it is the mind of Christ. It is the conversation to honor another, the conversation of forgiveness and oneness and unity. It is the word spoken among brothers and sisters not to find the sin of others in order to bring shame, but to recognize our own sin unto repentance. It is the word spoken to encourage the distressed, to comfort the suffering, to speak affection and sympathy to those in pain. It is the conversation spoken not to build up self and act virtuous, spoken not from selfish ambition, but spoken in humility, counting others more significant than ourselves, Philippians 2:3. In the church, it is the mind we are given among ourselves, the mind of Christ, who humbled himself on our behalf by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross, so that, having cleansed us with his own blood, he, Paul says, is now highly exalted by God the Father, who has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.